You have music or not? God. Tonight, the Disneyland Resort is adding a fourth hotel. Funny, I didn't know Paradise Pier counted. Disney's expanding Typhoon Lagoon with a new water slide. Too bad it's just being shipped from Wet n Wild when it closes. And I'm missing seeing Ghostbusters on the big screen tonight to be here. So, Nick, you better not mess anything up, or your reward Twinkies will not be waiting for you at the end of the show. You've read WDW News Today. Now you'll experience WDW News Tonight. So what, please, before we go any further, please explain what you did wrong this week, Nick. You're already not getting your Twinkie.
Ah. Well, that's an abrupt studio audience. Hey, how you doing, Tom?
So what happened?
Welcome back. Welcome.
Why don't we have the right music?
Welcome back to the studio.
You're changing
how you doing?
The topic.
Changing what topic?
It's like Rivers of Light in here. What happened?
You know, every once in a while, there is, you know, some people do things with the equipment here, then maybe not. I'm stalling.
Yeah. Oh, there's the theme. It exists.
Somebody messed with our log. I didn't pre-check it. Studio audience, you can clap again.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to WDW News Tonight. I'm Tom Corliss. You're not in the Nicholas Cicero messing everything up over there in the booth.
I swear the last 2 weeks went great.
Last week we weren't even on.
Well, we were on. And it went great.
Yay! We're back. So you just get the news or no? News? And now the news brought to you by TeePublic.
Welcome, by the way, no, welcome back, Tom. I'm glad. I hope you had a couple good weeks with the family.
I did. It's a good time.
All right.
Lots going on at Disney World I had to cover also. It's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, now the news brought to you by TeePublic.
Yeah, we're friends. I just didn't want to jump into the news like if this was like a cold-hearted thing, like, you know, ignoring the fact that...
Well, it
that,
usually doesn't start the way, but then something technically goes wrong, you know?
I wanted to welcome you back correctly, Tom.
Yeah.
I should have caught that.
I appreciate it.
I should have caught that.
But anyway, Nick, we got a lot to cover.
I know.
Let's get started.
How about we get to the news?
That's what we're doing. I introduced it twice.
Right? The news!
Yes. All
right.
So the Walt Disney Company has submitted plans to the City of Anaheim to add a new luxury resort hotel to the Disneyland Resort.
Ooh.
According to the OC Register, the hotel would be 700 rooms and be rated 4 diamonds by AAA, but unfortunately only 1 Matterhorn Macaroon by Mice Chat. Better look. What the hell was that? The proposed hotel would have a rooftop restaurant with a view of the fireworks over Sleeping Beauty Castle, as can be seen in the concept art. The name of the restaurant, the Florida Grill.
What? No.
What?
No.
Why? The California Grill is in Florida. Why would the Florida Grill not be?
That can't be.
I'm joking. It's not an ounce. That is a joke. Imagine if that's really the name, though. That'd be wonderful.
That'd be amazing.
Florida Grill. The hotel would be located at the northern end of the Downtown Disney parking lot, essentially behind the Rainforest Cafe and ESPN Zone on the corner of Disneyland Drive and Magic Way. The footprint of the project will occupy 10 acres of the Downtown Disney parking lot, so roughly the space occupied by 4 to 5 crooked parked cars of entitled guests normally in the lot. But it will include a parking structure, which will indeed service the hotel and Downtown Disney.
Nice.
Theme park views from the hotel will overlook the show buildings of Splash Mountain, the Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, and, of course, the 10 years of Star Wars construction. No theme has been announced for the hotel, but it will be designed by WDI. And currently, the City of Anaheim has 2 4 Diamond hotels, the Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian. Not the Paradise Pier. I know that might be hard to believe.
What?
But the Paradise Pier Hotel, not.
Come on.
I think that's like 1/4 of a macaroon on Mice Chat. I don't know. But anyway, The Anaheim City Council last year adopted a plan to provide tax incentives for developers to build luxury hotels to attract high-end visitors. Since then, a number of new luxury hotels have been proposed, including two at Garden Walk, should that survive, one on the site of the Annabella Hotel, and one at the site of the Anaheim Plaza Hotel and Suites, and none by Knott's Berry Farm. So.
For Knott's Berry? No. Short end of the stick.
Knott's for them. Yeah, so new luxury hotel, it's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I need more rooms.
I think it's funny how our first story on WDW News tonight is a Disneyland story, too. That's pretty good.
It's really hard to drink out of this mug.
Oh, I imagine it is. $13.
I'm struggling to drink out of this mug.
Do the lights disorient you?
No, it's just the lid just gets in the way.
Does it glow with the show?
No.
It doesn't glow with Jungle Book Alive with Magic.
Jungle Book Alive barely glows with Jungle Book Alive with Magic. So, anyway. According to permits filed by Disney with the South Florida Water Management. By the way, we covered Disneyland because that's a really big deal.
It is. It's a big deal.
Disneyland getting its fourth hotel over. Really big deal. Anyway, according to permits filed by Disney with the South Florida Water Management District, and believe it or not someone on Twitter, there is a 2-acre expansion of Typhoon Lagoon Water Park on the way. Star Wars theme.
Oh,
I'm joking.
Oh,
it's Frozen.
No, that would have been cool.
It's not themed to anything, probably. But the plans include
Frozen water slide would be great
and painful. construction of new guest areas, including a water feature, sidewalks and landscape areas will be provided for guest access. And the main attraction of the new area would be a new family raft ride that is to be located west of the Crush and Gusher ride. The ride would take place, of course, in an elevated flume or track, at least until Shanghai eats up the budget and it ends up on the floor. Disney.
Anything else about this?
What's that playing?
What's what?
You don't hear that?
No. We got the blueprint of the, if you're watching in the live chat, we have the blueprint of Typhoon Lagoon up there, which is pretty cool.
So, of course, Disney has not announced the project yet, but the filing of these permits is the first step in the construction process. Of course, the next step is the announcement, and then the 14-year physical construction to follow. So, anyway. You know what else has taken 14 years to build, Nick?
What, Tom?
Avatar! Make sure we know.
I love the Avatar joke of the week. We did a couple of them last week.
Did you?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. We played the song a lot.
Jason likes those. I get it. You mean 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago, yeah.
Hey, Nick, reservations can now be made at your favorite restaurant, a 3-course lunch at Tony's Town Square, which will include reserve viewing of the Main Street Electrical Parade right in front of the flagpole on Main Street, USA.
I'm excited.
So the only question is, what will get you more nauseous, the parade or the food?
Oh, man, what an awful restaurant.
The dining package includes your choice of appetizer, entree, and immediate trip to the restroom. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's dessert and beverage. The cost is $45 for adults, $17 for children, plus tax and gratuity, and is one table service entitlement on the Disney dining plan. Reservations open June 7th. It can be made at disneyworld.com/dine or by calling 407-WDW-DINE.
I've been hearing a lot about this Tony's Town Square lately. I don't know, like word's been going around. And so I think we might even be playing some of the ads on the station. I'm not sure.
They bought some ad space.
Yeah, I think they did.
Might hear that later in the show. Anyway, Morimoto Asia now offering a summer bonus program where guests receive a $20 bonus card for every $100 gift card they purchase at the restaurant. The offer now valid through June 30th, 2016. Similarly, if you get a $100 Disney gift card, you can continue to steal uncharged gift cards off the display. Can I continue? Did you not read that one?
No.
As many free uncharged cards as you would like.
I know everybody who does that.
Everybody does do that.
So good.
Slowly, over the last few years, we've seen Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom undergo a radical color change. Various attractions have slowly received new, more colorful paint schemes. We're they continue to fade, one or the other. Carousel of Progress, the latest victim of the winds of change. Jason, do we have that image, by the way? Do we not? You can't get it up. Anyway. The facade, of course, is mostly white, but one segment of the lower section sports a new look. You can check that out at WWNT.com, of course. I don't know about you, but the color and styles remind me a lot of old-school Space Mountain back in the day. Very similar. But we'll keep you updated on the quote-unquote progress. Get it? Progress?
Nah, cares off.
On the facade as it continues to be painted. Obviously, this doesn't seem like a big story to most people, but as Disney fans, we all understand the importance of the paint job on the Carousel of Progress.
Torn views of this on the comments on that post at WDWNT.com.
Yeah, people seem pretty split about it.
Yeah. Not sure. I like it. I like it.
Taking advantage of the new nighttime hours for Animal Kingdom, Disney is introducing a new add-on event at the park starting June 26th. Of course, rather than creating a real nighttime show. definitely no ordinary day at the park. The Savor the Savannah Evening Safari Experience offers you the opportunity to hop aboard a private safari vehicle and enjoy an expedition through the Harambe Wildlife Reserve. The highlight? A stop at an exclusive viewing area where you get to yell at peons as they pass in the regular attraction. You can also sample a selection of regional beers and wines, at least those of you over 21, or those of you with fake IDs, and savor African-inspired tapas while taking in the impressive savannah. And as you roll through the reserve on this incredible outing, you can catch it come to life with magic as a spectacular world of creatures roam about and grip your imagination. And a guide paints a picture of the wildlife, pointing out fascinating facts along the way. And as well, a special keepsake commemorating your unforgettable evening trek is yours to take home as well. It's a blade of grass from the actual safari. we don't know what it is, but it might be. Who knows? So,
I want an ant mound.
Bookings
sculpture,
open.
Little resin sculpture of an ant mound.
Bookings are now cool. Open. It's offered at 4, 5, 6, and 7 p.m. start time starting on June 26th. And again, you can call 407-WW-TOUR to book that. It's $169 per guest, $19 more than Disney After Hours.
Yeah.
It is a private event with alcohol and food. So
I'm excited.
You got to be at least 8 years old.
We're going to do this.
We are going to do this.
We're going to do a 7 p.m. show.
We're going to do a 7 p.m.
So we can see him turn on the Jumbotron.
Turn on the Harambe Jumbotron. Predator 7, Prey 0. See a replay of that lion pooping, Bill. Can we see that? I'm joking. You can't see anything on the night safari. Kids, if you squint, you might see.
Oh, I felt so bad for the driver. He was trying. He injected a lot of personality in there. But
my favorite was by the third time we went on it, the driver at the beginning goes, "Well, you're going to hear a lot of interesting animal noises along the way." Well, yeah, because you're not going to see anything.
And because they artificially make noises.
There are speakers in the tree. And I do like to yell. There's hippo noises that play. and I do yell the line from Jungle Cruise every once in a while. I go, "It's the ones in the trees you got to look out for." Hippos in the trees.
Nice.
A few weeks ago, we told you about plans moving forward to add a Tower of Terror-themed bar at the exit of the Hollywood Studios attraction. Well, of course, the desk was cleared out, the CDS location was moved, and then suddenly things stopped happening. You know why? Because Disney pulled the plug on the Tower of Terror bar after work had begun. Why cancel it? Well, there was certainly a lot of good publicity, obviously, when we broke the story. A lot of people were excited about it. But it seems merchandising was not aware of this plan, and once they got wind of it, well, they decided this was a bad idea. I suppose there are a lot of breakable items in the gift shop. In fact, the interesting thing is, though, this isn't the first time this happened. Food and Beverage put the kibosh on the Star Wars Launch Bay location. That bar area in there is not just supposed to be a showpiece. There was supposed to be food and beverage there, but merchandising said not so close to the shop. They didn't want to deal with food and beverage so close to their merchandise location for whatever reason. So, for now, it's dead, but you never know. If you know the food and beverage department well enough, I'm sure they'll be looking at other nearby venues. Who knows? Maybe even like the Legend of Captain Jack Sparrow. Turn that into a bar. Why not? So anyway.
All right, we have lots more to come here on the show tonight. We're going to play.
Who brought us the news?
I will tell people that in just a moment. We're going to play some Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets game we're bringing to you tonight. So if you want to play a game, some prizes from Theme Park Connection, we got this great book that we're giving away too. Oh, can you see that? There you go. I got to figure out which way I got to move it. Wait, wrong way, Nick. There you go. Just a little bit of lag. Got to figure that one out. Give another game and a book anyway. So play the game. Give us a call, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. The news was brought to you, of course, by TeePublic. Don't forget to shop apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just go to WDWNT.com and click the TeePublic link to shop from hundreds of designs for t-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including exclusive WDW News Today logo apparel and original creations such as the Hollywood Studios Hard Hats March Tragic Team shirt, which I saw someone tweeted at you, Tom, saying that they were excited. They ordered the shirt. It was on
its way. Did you see the picture of me with someone in the park?
Oh, yes.
Ran into someone in the park wearing it.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Very cool. People are loving it. People love the California Bears shirt, too, celebrating the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown.
We actually
have
a new one out that's not listed in this ad. Jason, do we have that? Can we pull that up for everybody? There it is, WDWNT.com, the website that must not be named,
all right,
according to anyone on WDW Magic.
All you have to do is head over to WDWNT.com, click on the TeePublic link right there on the site, and it'll take you right there, and you could do your t-shirt and other apparel shopping. TeePublic, an official partner of WDW News Tonight.
Trust in me. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight Live. Listen to WDWNT.com, also on YouTube and AM 1520 WBZW here in Orlando.
A little bit of Jungle Book feel tonight. I feel like we're going to be talking a little Jungle Book tonight.
I think you played the wrong ad, though.
The wrong ad?
Yeah, that's not the Italian restaurant we had an ad for.
Oh.
Do you have the right?
I have made a few mistakes tonight, so I'm probably right.
Yeah, I remember I recorded it for them earlier this week.
So. I think it's this one. They sound so much alike.
Yeah.
That, all right, here we go.
Play the right ad?
Yeah, this is the right one here.
Okay. Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Tony's Town Square Cafe. It's because owner and chef Tony Ragu offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Toledo, Ohio. He is 1/8 Italian. Locally sourced Cast Connection freezer items are combined with prepackaged ingredients imported only from the OBT Winn-Dixie, along with mangled recipes from nearly unreadable Buitoni labels. Whether it's quote-unquote pizza or that soup of the day which just hasn't changed in 14 years, taste for yourself at Tony's Town Square, just steps away from that hat store that sells pins. Come taste what the guide map is calling Italian food, only at Tony's. And maybe at Portobello.
That's the end.
There you go. That's the correct ad. I know I've been hearing a lot about that, Tony's.
Yeah.
Might give it another shot.
But the guide map is calling Italian food. That's high praise.
Sounds pretty good.
High praise.
Hey, if you want to play, we're going to play this in a little bit. Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets. We're going to give you a shop or eatery at one of the places. You're going to let us know if it's at Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets or both. And no cheating. We're going on the honor system here. Come on.
You're
going
to have to answer real fast.
Real fast. You get no little leeway there. We have some prizes from Theme Park Connection and a book about Disney's California Adventure as well. Right now, Tom, that's coming up in a little bit, so give us a call, 407-774-8255, if you want to play, 407-774-8255, Tom, but first...
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
Periods of damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy, it's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like change.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was dead.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Mr. Corliss, what are you mad at?
This is going to seem like a really silly. I went to Animal Kingdom the other night. It was raining. I have my umbrella. going through the turnstile. The turnstile is a small covered area.
Mm-hmm.
There's no line. So I put the umbrella. There's no turnstiles off to this side of me. Okay. So as I go up, I'm on this. So there's two sides of the turnstile. It splits. It does the weird V thing. I go to this side. So there's no one this way. And there's the two scanners. The first scanner, I hold the umbrella out to my side, the other way where no one is.
Right.
And it's up in the air. It's not going to hit anybody. The cast member, while I'm scanning my band, goes, "Could you close your umbrella?" And I look at him. I go,
"What?
What?" He's like, "I need you to close your umbrella." I go, and meanwhile, I'm putting my finger to the scanner at this point. I'm about to scan. And I'm scared, like I'm almost in at this point. There's no covering after that. It's the Oasis, which has no cover whatsoever. It's raining like heavily,
yeah,
mind you.
It sure was.
And I'm not pouring rain on the guy. His excuse was, "You're going to hit someone in the eye." And I look at him, I go, "Sir, I'm over 6 feet tall. If I'm holding my hand up here, and the umbrella then extends another several feet beyond that, it's a large umbrella. Whose eye am I going to hit? Is there a giraffe nearby? Am I going to poke a giraffe in the eye?" Like, I don't... It was ridiculous. I thought it was so absurd. I sort of rolled my eyes at him. I didn't want to fight about it. It just seemed psychotic to close my umbrella to reopen it literally two steps away once I got past him.
I can agree with that. But you could have poked somebody's eye out. You could have injured somebody.
Was this a Christmas story?
I think that's what he was worried about there,
you'll
Tom.
You'll put someone's eye out, kid.
Tom, I'm mad at every restaurant that's not Tiffin's. I'm kind of mad at myself a little bit, too. Like a schmuck, I've been serving myself soup and getting soup from other restaurants that is not poured fresh for me at the table, liquid over the ingredients of the soup. That is the way to have soup. We got the lobster soup there on the menu, and they bring you out the bowl.
Thai curry lobster popcorn bisque.
Wow, there you go. They put this bowl in front of me, Tom, and I was like, "Oops, what the heck did I just order?" Because I really thought I was ordering soup. Now, I know this is like an upscale foo-foo restaurant, but like, is that what's passing for soup at a place like this? Then all of a sudden, the guy comes in with this big pitcher and pours my soup into the bowl. Tom, that is the way to eat soup, and I never realized it before until now. Every other restaurant, I'm going to send them back to the kitchen, say, "Pour that broth into a pitcher, come back out with an empty bowl, and pour me my soup correctly."
See, at Tony's, I don't think you want to see what's in the soup. You want that Italian wedding soup that's literally been the soup of the day that's not written on the menu for the last 15 years. You don't want to see what's hiding in that broth.
According to the commercial, it's like 14.
It's like the trash compactor scene in Star Wars. There's going to be some tentacle creature popping out at you. Anyway.
Oh, my. All right. Well, we're playing a game tonight, Disney Springs or Orlando. You know, it's funny, Tom. When we play the math game, I can't even keep up with the amount of lights that ring on this phone bank over here. When we play Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets, however, we don't light them up as fast.
I don't think no one knows how the game works. Should I explain the game?
Well, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's either or both.
But I don't know if people... Sometimes we have misleading names.
Is the math game that enticing where we're getting...
No, it's not. It's this way. We're going to give you the name of a store or restaurant or whatever it might be, food kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tell us if it's at Disney Springs Town Center, at either of the Orlando Premium Outlets, that would be, what are they, International Drive and Vineland?
And Vineland, yep. Yeah.
Or at both. And we're going to give you 10 of those. How many do they have to get right out of 10? What are we doing?
I think they have to get 7 out of 10
7?
To get a prize. Yes, 7.
7 out of 10.
To get a prize. And we need the answer pretty instantaneously, all right?
Nick, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all of the questions. I saw the first
round. Well, no,
round.
We do have one contestant.
Oh, do we? All right, so let's play. I didn't know we had anybody.
That's all right. I just want to get some more. So 407-774-8255. But we do have the person who doesn't mind trying out any game. That is Gabe. How you doing, Gabe?
Hey, Nick. What's up?
Oh, not so much. You excited about the Animal Kingdom offerings? You going to get over there?
Yeah. I actually really, from what I've seen, you know, on YouTube, I actually really like the new Jungle Book show.
What did you say?
In person, but I don't understand the negative reviews.
All right, Gabe has to get 10 out of 10 correct in order to get
it. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't expect something with a huge budget for something that was...
No, but I expect it to be watchable. I don't expect the Discovery Island band on barges with miscreens that don't function. I expect
the miscreens, right?
No, there's still a giant gap. They don't reach each other.
Okay, maybe it's just an in-person thing. Because from the YouTube show, I mean, it was very, you know, culturally representative. And I don't know.
It's music from the movie, right?
You know? Right, but with
I don't know about cultural we're
throughout
getting.
It.
All right, guys. Let's get to the game. I do have some problems with Tom's review, even though I dislike it. We'll get to that. We'll get Tom. Looked at wow, evil eye,
yeah.
Evil eye. All right, let's play Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets. Here we go, Gabe. Let's do it. All right. So here, first up on the list. All right, need an answer right away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Boehner.
Orlando Premium Outlets.
Disney Springs. Burberry.
That would be Disney Springs.
Orlando Premium Outlet. Sephora.
Oh, that's Disney Springs.
Got one. Curl by Sammy Duvall.
Disney Springs.
All right, two. Starbucks.
Both?
Yes. Skechers.
Orlando Premium Outlet.
Got it. Nine West.
Disney Springs.
Everything but water.
Disney Springs.
Ugg.
Premium Outlets.
Both. And the last one, Tumi.
How do you spell that?
Tumi.
Premium Outlets.
Yes, but I think you got four wrong there, Gabe. Four wrong, only six right. No prize from Theme Park Connection tonight. But that's how you play the game, folks. 407-774-8255. Gabe, as always, good to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the call tonight. We do
Nick,
appreciate it.
In the chat, someone has said, Tony's Italian Wedding Soup of the Day is so old.
How old is it?
It's so old that the couple from the wedding has since had children who have grown up and had their own weddings.
Oh, my. Oh, my. All right, so let's talk, Tom. Let's talk a little bit about that. While we're waiting for some people to call and play the game, actually, as they are right now, why don't you give us your general review? We've kind of danced around it a little bit. Jungle Book Alive with Magic. What's your main problem with it?
My main problem with it isn't a nighttime show.
Okay, you say that, then you say it's not even watchable. So you're being a little inconsistent
as
there, and that's my problem.
Show it's not. There are people lining up at 5:30 at night. Imagine, I want you to imagine. Voices of Liberty is wonderful. They're great. I love Voices of Liberty. And it's a far, and I'm giving a bad example because it's a far superior show. But if I was going to see Voices of Liberty, would I line up at 5:30 in the evening for the 9 o'clock Voices of Liberty? No, because that's not a nighttime spectacular. That's not an event worthy of waiting that many hours. It's not an event worthy of having a dining package.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with this show. It is not Fantasmic. Fantasmic is a big, amazing show, which definitely warrants longer wait times. It warrants a dining package to skip those wait times. This show does not. Whether or not the people are talented, whether or not the music is good, does not save the show. You can't see the performers from half of the seats. It's poorly staged. Other than the lighting, it's not really that impressive. The miscreen, which you're seeing right now if you're watching the video stream, okay. never reaches each other. So it's just this big gap.
On Sunday, they were.
But the slightest breeze, it's like World of Color.
No, I
World
know.
World of Color adjusts itself based on the weather. It's supposed to figure it out. These miscreens are not.
Yeah,
so
no,
if there's a slight breeze, forget it.
And that's fine. I'm just telling you that game must...
Yeah, that's fine. It still doesn't save the show. It's better.
But. Right, yeah. No, it doesn't. The show is awful. The show is absolutely awful, but I think it's awful for... I don't think it's awful for the same reasons that you're saying it is. How could... I don't even think Disney was promoting it as a Fantasmic or World of Color.
They don't have to, but it's got to be... If you're going to sell dining packages to some... I can't believe I'm watching it right now. Like,
but just, it doesn't.
Seeing what's going on the screen, I'm like...
You even admitted the price of the dining package was worth it because you probably
Tiffin's.
Saved some money on your food.
That's Tiffin's. I'm not saying you should go see the show after. I'm saying it's a good value to eat at Tiffin's.
Wait.
Your time will still not be well invested... In even wasting a half hour sitting on these benches to wait for this show to happen. It's atmospheric entertainment. If this was something that was presented on Discovery Island on that tiny stage, if like one of the little dance groups went over to that stage at 4 o'clock, I'd stand there and watch them for 10 minutes. This as a 20 minute show does not function. It doesn't work.
No, I get that. But you see, you're oddly tying this to it being a nighttime show in this stadium. I think for what they wanted to do, that's not the point. The point is they failed at giving us a good show.
I don't think it's the worst thing. I think the point I was trying to make was as a standalone show, I don't think it's the worst show I've ever seen in a Disney park.
Probably not.
As a nighttime entertainment offering, it is hands down the worst nighttime entertainment offering I've seen.
But it has its problems, and you could see where it was rushed. First of all, the choreography.
Of course it's rushed. It was made in 40 days.
They can't do the dances that they're supposed to be doing because of the little barges they're standing on. There's just not enough space. They're not. Yeah. It's not choreographed good enough for the space they have. It should be narrated a little bit to where at least no.
You don't even know there's people live singing. They don't
you
tell
have no
you.
No idea. And I thought I was weird not realizing that, but a lot of people didn't
it's weird
realize
that. They don't
that.
Introduce themselves or anything.
So the people in the middle barge are singing live. And again, I do not like the arrangements of the music. I do not like.
I didn't think the music was.
I thought it was pretty bad. I thought the choreography was pretty awful. I thought the. I don't put as much blame on the actual dancers because I can't really judge that talent, but it just looked bad, and I don't think
Did
they were comfortable.
Did you see Glowfest?
No, I don't remember that.
So Glowfest did a Bollywood show. Glowfest was the thing that you were supposed to do while you were waiting for World of Color. It was like a...
Okay.
In DCA. And they did a Bollywood show in front of what was the big Sun Hubcap, the old Sunshine Plaza fountain thing. And it was a Bollywood dance show. It was like 10 or 15 minutes long, and it pretty much was this, but because it wasn't a nighttime show, if people enjoy Bollywood dancing, they could stand there and be like, okay, that was enjoyable fun. Mm-hmm. Now let's go do something else. This is not... Imagine if you went, you bought the Hollywood Brown Derby package, and you go, you wait hours to go see Fantasmic, and after all these hours, the show begins, and it's just the Dapper Dans standing on stage with lights behind them. The Dapper Dans are talented people, but they've been put in the wrong venue.
Right, right.
That's what's happening with Jungle Book.
Yeah, and the action that's on these distant floats is too small for it to matter. It's not a big spectacle. It's a show that you're meant to see in a little bit more intimate, up-close setting. And the water and stuff behind it doesn't really add to anything. The one positive I pulled away from it, I did see some elements that bode well for Rivers of Light.
The fire on the trees.
Yeah, the fire on the trees, the snake wrapping around the trees and coming out to the mist screen and that kind of stuff. There were some positive elements
Once
here.
They actually get the mist screens to function.
Right. Right. No,
there's,
I get that.
There's some potential there.
But overall, this was pretty bad. People that are enjoying it, I think, you know, it's funny because I don't like to defend you, Tom, but honestly, in the comments, there was, you know, you posted your review, and a lot of people were coming at you saying, you know, stuff like, you know, people are being negative for no reason. And it's like, well, if you were positive about it, people would say you're a shill for Disney. And it's just, it's weird. You were just honest about it. And, you know, people could have different opinions about it, but your job is to recommend people to maximize their time.
Yeah.
And this is something you could skip and still have
a wonderful vacation. It will not distract. Yeah. In fact, spending night walking around the park, or spending some time at Nomad, or going on the night safari, even the night safari, or just standing watching the Tree of Life will all be things that are better investments of the few night. Because you got to remember, it doesn't get dark till 8:30, so you only have like 3 hours of 2.5 to 3 hours of actual nighttime in this park. If you want to see Everest at night, if you've never seen it before, that's a really great thing to do. You want to walk around the park, or you want to enjoy some time at the lounge, or watch the tree, your time is very precious and valuable.
Yeah.
And this show is not worth it. Rivers of Light could be a very, very different thing, but this at the very least is not. And I'm sad that they still felt like they could offer a dining package with this, even though they knew it was an inferior product.
All right,
whether or not they thought it was good.
We'll get to some more Animal Kingdom nighttime entertainment reviews. But first, another round of Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets. This time we have Rick on the line. How you doing, Rick?
Pretty good. How's it going, guys?
Doing good. Where are you calling in from?
Annapolis, Maryland.
Maryland. Now, are you familiar at all with the Premium Outlets? Are you an outlet shopper?
Only been there a handful of times.
Handful?
Not too much.
All right. Well, let's see how you do tonight, Rick, in Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets. I'm going to give you the name of a shop or kiosk. You're going to tell me if it's in Disney Springs, Orlando Premium Outlets, or both, and I need an answer really quick. No cheating. No looking it up, Rick. If you get 7 out of 10 correct, you get the prize.
7?
Yeah, 7 from Theme Park Connection. Here we go. American Threads.
Disney Springs.
Got it. Tommy Bahama.
Disney Springs.
Both. Vera Bradley.
Both.
Yeah, nice. Zara.
Disney Springs.
Got it. Perfumania.
The Premium Outlet.
Got it. Lilly Pulitzer.
Premium Outlet.
No, that was in Springs. Wetzel's Pretzels.
Both.
No,
Disney. I thought that too, but Nick told me it's what is it, Annie Ann's?
Yeah, the Annie Ann's ones. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It's Annie Ann's at the outlet. So it was
all right. Wow. Three more. You can't get any more wrong here. Under Armour,
Disney Springs.
Boom. Oh. I figured that one would get people. Tommy Hilfiger.
Premium Outlet.
Got it. And Pandora.
Disney Springs.
Got it.
Oh, he's off by one.
Yeah, I think he got four wrong, right, Tom? Right?
Yeah.
You keep, okay. Yeah. Sorry, Rick. Appreciate,
no problem. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate calling, Tom. Any comments you want to make on anything going on at Disney World?
Not too much, no. Not at the moment.
All right. Very good, Rick. Call us anytime. Appreciate you calling to play the game tonight. It's as easy as that, guys. 407-774-8255 is the number. Give us a call. We'll play some Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets with you. We've yet to give out this book right here. Disney's California Adventure Detective and other prizes. Yeah, it's not just this, but we have a whole box of stuff. I have some wonderful robots, Vinylmation, some old buttons and pins and medals and all kinds of good stuff. So you get a prize from Theme Park Connection if you get 7 out of 10.
7?
Tonight. Yeah, 7. When we return, we'll tell you what Tom and I have eaten in the past couple weeks and more about that nightlife at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
I'm going to try and figure out this book. Can't wait for this episode to not be of help. Copyright.
Jungle Book flair to some of the music tonight.
That movie was great.
It was. So good.
But I'm apparently a get off my lawn type. Did you hear about that?
No, I saw a response, but never saw
Inside
the original.
Inside the Magic, which mostly covers video games, I guess at this point. I don't know. If I followed their Twitter, I would think they didn't cover theme park.
Yeah. So how do you like an old man because of that comment?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going senile like one, but anyway. I don't know if it was directed at me or not, but I think we probably had the review that got the most ire from people. Certainly other reputable people had tweeted their reviews that they didn't like the show. But we're probably the biggest site that posted a negative review and pretty immediately after the show came out. And based on the traffic we got for the post, I would assume it was talking about us. Just, I don't really know anyone else who got that kind of traffic on it. But it was, they called anyone who didn't like the show a get off my lawn type. So anyway, but, in fairness, Nick, I know I haven't talked to you about this. I went to school for journalism. I went to school to be a journalist. And in the course of that, you take you, anyone who works in the field, I'm sure you had to take one actually also, media ethics class.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. It's a requirement for anyone in anything in the field.
Miss Betts,
broadcasting,
UCF,
journalism,
shout out,
any of those things. And what's funny is there is not a whole lot of media ethics in this community because I don't think it's I think it's fairly well known at this point that there's a lot of people who have actually either been threatened or told they would lose their media credentials from Disney if they don't stay positive.
Play the game.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And obviously, it's actually a hot-button topic with that whole UFC thing that's going on. The guy that was it an he worked for a news outlet, and now they've banned him from media? Or
yeah, yeah. He
He broke the story about Brock Lesnar.
He broke a story. Yeah. They came to him and said, hey, you were supposed to come to us and talk about it first. We wanted to make the announcement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way things are going. I mean, these big corporations, I mean, Disney's one of them that wants to be their own PR wing. The day of the, you know, everybody leaning on a press release to get the info out there is long gone. And that changes the rules on how you gather information and how you can.
But it's not, but like, imagine if you worked for a newspaper. Remember when those existed? You worked for a newspaper and you cover sports, you cover a sports team. Your job is to analyze in a lot of ways the moves the team makes, business decisions and team decisions and things like that. Imagine an age where a baseball team could tell someone from the New York Times they can't come cover the press room because they said something negative about the team,
right?
How the team's being handled. That would be insane, right?
Like, well, honestly, the team does issue credentials, so they could not issue credentials, but
they could, but it's the job of
right
those people like ESPN, especially those people. They often will weigh in. There's a lot of them that are opinionated people who weigh in on things. So, could you imagine ESPN's media credentials being taken away because Stephen A. Smith decided he didn't like a decision made by a basketball team? You can't take away ESPN's credentials. They are a respected outlet.
Right.
And Disney did that for the Frozen show in California. They made headlines recently. They would not let the LA Times go because the LA Times had posted a piece that negatively talked about Shanghai Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane. That's the LA Times.
Right.
That's not a blog. That is the LA Times. That is a major, major newspaper.
Disney doesn't need the LA Times.
A respected outlet.
That's fine.
It's not about them needing it. They should not be allowed to not invite them. That is a major outlet.
You can't. No, it's a private thing. You can't just come.
That's insane.
If LA Times wants to go, they can buy a ticket and go.
That's insane.
That's insane.
I would like to. I know we've done this a couple times before. I want to get a media ethics professor on the air next week or the week after, and I want to actually have this conversation. And I want to actually open the floor to the people who are supposedly on Disney's media list. I know they're not going to show up, but you know how I do.
Let's look at that for a couple weeks.
I will happily invite anyone from Inside the Magic who wants to come, anyone from Attractions Magazine, WDW Radio, any of those reputable sources that wants to come on the show and actually have a real conversation about something, we can have that conversation. I know they won't show up, but I will happily welcome them on the show.
Yeah.
To have this conversation.
No, it's a good discussion to have. I do think that they do reserve the right to do it. I just think
people like us, like, if they don't want to invite me, I understand. No, like, I mean, I only have 60,000 Twitter.
Even this reporter that got his credentials taken away from the MMA, he did say that it's okay for them to do it, just not for this particular reason. This particular reason was him just reporting something that he learned, and there was no reason for him to keep it.
Yeah,
there was no, you know, that's what he does all the time. They were just upset because they wanted the hits to their website, to their PR push, and that's the same thing. And that is what Disney wants. Disney doesn't want people to go to WWNT.
No, they sure don't.
They want you to go to the
Disney
Parks.
But maybe they shouldn't make all the other sites the same regurgitated garbage if they don't want people to go to us.
Well, maybe not.
Because it's, newsflash, Disney, it's backfiring on you.
Well, it is. It is. And I mean,
it is, because I literally am almost... We are literally almost the only source that can say whatever they want. And because people want something fair and balanced,
right,
they come to us. And I actually had someone send me a lengthy email the other day when I asked about doing more dining reviews. And they sent me a long email, which was very nice, and basically said, please keep doing dining reviews because I actually want to know what I should spend my money on
right
when I go. And I'll tell you something, honestly, I don't try to pan Disney because they don't let me on media lists. I still love the company. I still love the parks. I love the creative side of it. Do I not care for the PR side? Absolutely. But they don't matter to me. They don't affect my experience of the thing I love.
Well, it's ridiculous. People want it both ways. They'd get on you whether you were, in favor of everything Disney does. I mean, I get that all the time.
I think we are very fair. I think I will be one of the only people that goes into Frozen Ever After not holding a grudge. And whether personally I want to or not, because I liked Maelstrom, my job is to go in there and see if that attraction is good and to find out how people can best get in there with a minimum wait time.
Right.
And I will do my job.
And people are going to go. It's not.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I got to tell people if the ride is good or not, or
right,
if it's only for kids, or if I think everyone will enjoy it, or, you know.
It's going to be scrutinized. There's no doubt about that.
It's going to be.
They're gonna have to get their work cut out for them.
But there are I can almost already. I have not seen the ride other than the two pictures from inside we've posted. I have not seen the ride yet. I haven't seen the ride yet. But I could probably, if you gave me a graph of all the major Disney news websites, and I had to put a thumbs up or a thumbs down, what I think they will think of it, I would almost guarantee you that if not 99, I could get 100% of them right. I can tell you who's going to be negative and who's going to be positive. And that's without even having seen anything. I know the outcome before it's even going to happen.
Oh, it's going to get disgusting. It really is. Because if you're nauseous about Frozen itself, the Frozen coverage in the... See, I get nauseous of these Frozen bashers that are just like, dissing it just because it's Frozen. And that's not valid. Frozen is a thing. Deal with it and move on.
We have a comment in the chat. Someone brought up that Disney Dreamfinders thing. Is that the documentary? Is that
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
So there's a documentary out about, I guess, people who have made a living out of covering Disney or being involved in the fandom, I guess.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of flack for some similar to the conversation we just had about shilling for Disney or whatever the case might be. Did we ever invite them? I know we talked about...
We're in talks.
Oh, we are. Okay. I don't want to say any more about it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to have that conversation with them, and not,
yeah.
And I'm not looking to bring them on to yell at anyone. I want to have a conversation in front of people. That's what I want to have. I want to have a rational conversation where I'm not going to be disrespectful to anyone. We're not going to be disrespectful to anyone that comes on. I just want to have a rational conversation with people, mm-hmm. And I want to see why all of this is okay. Why is everyone all right with it? I mean, personally, I'm okay with it because our traffic's never been higher, as I've said a million times before. Personally, from a business standpoint, it is the best thing that ever happened to WDWNT. But that doesn't mean every day I don't wake up and scratch my head and go, why are people okay with, just being positive about everything and lying to people and telling them they think something's great.
Well, because that's what they want out of life. They don't care.
I know that is
what they want out of life. They want the website hits. They want the traffic. There's two ways to get it. There's to get information and be nice and be invited to these events and get to see, you know, and honestly, these people probably don't even care about the traffic because they are getting invited to these events.
Free lunch, as Josh would say.
It's a free, it is. It is a free lunch. And,
which we do get from time to time, but like, we were invited to the STK opening, I was positive about my dinner, and I didn't care for lunch, and the lunch review is not glowingly positive.
No, and you shouldn't, and that's ridiculous. No, the point of this stuff is not to give a good review just because you were invited there, not to feel like you should. No. Anyway,
but that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, no,
I'm glad we started talking.
Can't wait to get into that. We'll definitely get someone on to talk about that. But coming up in the second hour of WDW News tonight, we're going to find out what Tom and I ate the past couple weeks. We had some good stuff, and we're also going to. I do want to dive in a little bit into some of the nighttime entertainment. We'll talk a little bit about the nighttime safari at Animal Kingdom and the Tree Awakening. It's pretty fun as well. We'll do that in the second hour. And we're bringing on some of the WDWNT staff. And we're going to talk about some of the ghosts of Walt Disney World past. And a flashback to the future that's not Star Wars Weekend.
On WDW News Tonight. Sorry, I got caught eating vegetables.
Yeah, you did a little bit. So, good discussion there. Yeah, I definitely want to continue that in the coming week.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll get to that. And
I'm eating the chip.
Yeah. Eating it. And that's what you're eating right now. These veggie chips are not going to be included in your What Did Nick Tom Just Eat in a little bit.
Hopefully no, we'll be. Next week on the show... the Family Feud. We're going to do a full edition of the Family Feud next week. We're going to get teams. There's going to be pre-sign-up, so stay tuned to the site.
Jedi Hero Princess versus Nerd Alert?
No, that was embarrassing.
that
was a really good segment.
That was good.
That was good. So next week, your chance. We're going to try and get at least 60 on to play for prize. It should be fun. Next week's discussion and theme is getting drunk at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the lounges. I want to talk about the lounges finally. We're going to talk about people getting drunk at Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
we're talking about the ongoing battle of family-based treats versus the alcoholics.
Tom, you and I have a lot of show prep to do this weekend.
We do, yes.
Yeah.
There certainly contingents of people who hate alcohol being in any of the parks. There
ridiculous.
Are certainly those of us who enjoy the occasional drink, and some of us more than the occasional drink. So let's have that discussion next week. Let's get uncomfortable, shall we, folks?
What do you think? There's a place for kids?
Yeah. I'm going to eat another chip.
Okay, crackpots, let's get cooking!
They should just sell these sweet potato ones, by the way.
They should. Those sweet potato ones are amazing. All right, Tom, what did we eat in the past couple weeks? Where would you like to start?
Well, these chips.
The chips. We starting at, you gave us a nice review a couple weeks ago of the STK dining, but you also went to lunch. Why don't you bring us up there to STK?
Lunch was okay. I had the Wagyu beef burger. Wasn't great.
From your photos, though,
the burger itself was fantastic. The meat quality was spectacular.
Looked good.
The toppings were a horrible choice. It's like blue cheese and peppers. And it just didn't mix together. It just wasn't all that great. And Jason has brought up the pictures for you of the review. That wasn't great. The chicken sandwich fell apart. The bread just... you know, soaked everything up and just imploded upon itself.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so, like, you have a long time to develop this menu. That's probably something you should realize is happening. That being said, the mahi-mahi sandwich was out of this world.
Looked
it was really spectacular.
So good.
So it was hit and miss. The fries, You know, a lot of people try to imitate McDonald's French fries.
Yeah.
SDK isn't imitating. I think they're going down to McDonald's, picking up fries and bringing them back because they're spot on. They're identical, which, as much as I love McDonald's French fries, you're paying a lot to eat at SDK.
Do your own thing.
Do you really want McDonald's French fries?
Right. They look like it, too. They totally look like it.
They are.
Yeah.
They, in every way, are McDonald's French fries.
Now, did you bring over some dipping sauces from Deluxe Burger?
No, I wish I did, though. Oh. I've been back to Deluxe twice. It's better every time I go. And I brought some burger snobs with me last week.
Yeah.
People that go to, like, Teak and a bunch of local places that are burger places.
Yeah.
They were thoroughly impressed.
Oh, yeah.
So, Deluxe continues to get the seal of approval from everybody.
So, anything would you say money better spent elsewhere for lunch at Springs?
Maybe, but the problem is, see, so Jason has that other page up right now. There's so many of the regular dinner options there. That filet, the bone-in filet, is out of this world. So if you don't want to eat that later in the evening, if you want to go there between 11 and 4 and eat a bone-in filet, I would still go to SDK. SDK is a wonderful steakhouse. There's a lot of really good steak here. So I'm not going to say your money's better spent elsewhere. Just don't. I think the lunch menu is a bit of an afterthought. I wouldn't order anything exclusive to the lunch menu other than that mahi-mahi sandwich.
Can you make lunch reservations?
You can.
Okay.
You call and make them. I wasn't able to make them online.
SDK isn't available through the app yet, right? Through the Disney app?
I don't believe so.
And it won't be?
No, it's their website, sdkhouse.com, is making reservations. You could also call them directly.
All right. Now, moving on, let's go over to the annual. By the way, that's at Disney Springs, and we still have some spots open. If you want to give us a call while we're doing this food review, you can. To play Disney Springs or Orlando Premium Outlets, give us a call, 407-774-8255 to play. So we'll move over to Animal Kingdom now. Let's start with the lounge, Nomad Lounge, there right outside the new Tiffin's restaurant.
Nomad Lounge has probably the best drink menu at any establishment at all of Walt Disney World.
100%
from
agree.
Top to bottom. And I took people that aren't Walt Disney World regulars. So in a group, there's me and my girlfriend. There's Josh. Of course, Josh knows every menu on property. I have my parents, I have my cousins, everybody's in town. Everyone was blown away by pretty much every drink they got at Nomad Lounge.
I was,
the
too.
Leaping Lizard. The what was the tiger one again?
Snow Leopard. There was a Snow Leopard?
The Something Tigress?
Oh, yeah, Tempting Tigress.
Tempting
That's
Tigress
the first
is another
one
popular one. The Night Monkey is spectacular.
Tigress has like a bourbon in it. It's so good. The what is it? The Leopard? I think, no, not the leopard, the...
Leaping Lizard?
Was it the monkey that has the puree in it?
That's the Night Monkey.
Oh my goodness.
Everything's spectacular. The food, not so much.
It's cilantro in it.
There are very good food options. They're very small. They're now, if you go in there, they'll tell you they're real small, more like snacks, even less so than appetizers. That being said, the ribs are phenomenal. I love the ribs so much.
There you are.
The bread service I like, but that could vary depending on how much they play with the sauces.
Well, the menu, I spent 10 minutes reading the menu.
It's a giant menu.
Well,
it's beautiful.
I mean, I'm just talking because of all the photos in there.
It's beautiful. You can see it right now if you're watching the video show.
Yeah, because the idea of this is it's built around them building Animal Kingdom. So you have all these reference
photos. It
is a restaurant photo
themed to the journeys they took to create the park.
So the menu actually has different sections of the world, too, and different
drinks
inspired by.
Which Jacques does, too. It's similar to Jacques in that way. But this is a much stronger drink menu even than Jacques all around.
Yeah.
And Trader Sam's, for that matter.
I went back 3 times on my first day there. Just kept going back. So, hey, want to get a drink? All right. We're waiting for the nighttime safari. Let's go.
And if you don't like alcohol, they have non-alcoholic versions of a lot of the stuff on there, which I think is a really, really nice option. And they were good. My mother, on 2 of the 3 occasions we went, was not in the mood for alcohol. So she ordered the non-alcoholic versions of some of the drinks.
So was my friend,
They were great.
Yeah, he loved it. He got this, like, watermelon juice one.
Yeah,
it was really good.
It is. I wish the food menu was better. I hope they will improve upon...
Jen's tattoo right there.
Yeah, there it is. I hope they will improve upon the food menu, but drinks, it's unbelievable. That being said... if it's an option for you before you're going to go eat a Tiffin's, you're going to want to save your appetite anyway.
I had the spring roll. I was happy.
It's good. The spring roll is good, too.
Yeah.
The other stuff isn't necessarily bad. The only thing I didn't like was the Wagyu beef.
Okay, now we don't agree about one thing here.
Okay.
The Mustang coffee.
You might have had a very different experience. We went very early in the existence of the restaurant.
This thing blew my mind. It was one of the greatest drinks
I've
ever had.
There's the Leaping Lizard, by the way, with the lizard head.
Yeah. Now, you have to be ready for the Mustang coffee. It's a strong brewed coffee with butter, brown sugar, and Crown Royal. And so it's a hot drink. And so I would, it's not a summer drink, but it was so good. I actually had it like kind of as a dessert-y type thing. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good on a cool night out there on the patio at Tiffin's. I could totally see drinking this. It was, if you like the taste of coffee and the Crown Royal, it was so incredibly good.
You know
good.
What was good? The dessert sampler. It's a tinier version of the ganache. Mm. And I really, really liked it.
Now let's go inside Tiffin's, the restaurant itself.
Oh, the fish balls were good too, actually. I forgot about that. I like the fish balls a lot too. Tiffin's is the first signature restaurant for Animal Kingdom. So Tiffin's is a big, big, big deal. And Tiffin's delivers. 90% of the entrees I was thoroughly blown away with. We already talked about the lobster bisque. We're not going to talk about it more. A lot of the other appetizers were great. I can't think of any of them off the top of my head that I loved as much as the soup. But they're
octopus.
No, the fish crudo was really good.
Fish crudo.
Yeah. The bread the service. Entrees, though, that steak dish is one of, if not the best steak dish on all of Walt Disney World property.
Get a ribeye there. It was cooked perfectly.
The halibut, if not the best seafood dish at Walt Disney World, might be the best dish.
I love the forbidden
anywhere.
Rice. It's just this, it's a black rice inside a, what was the wrapping? Was it, I don't know
which
if it's spinach. The halibut.
Oh.
Was on top of the forbidden rice. The forbidden rice was kind of wrapped up inside this, the greens. And then there was that sauce there.
Yeah, the sauce is unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. The sustainable fish was fantastic. I know I had to tease a lot of people by making that the featured picture. I don't know why people still have against fish with heads, but
so if you don't mind carving out your own fish meat,
no, it's work, but it's really wonderful. If you don't like it, though, the halibut honestly is better. I still love the sustainable fish, but the halibut is unbelievable.
Yeah,
and a lot of the other entrees great too. That the vegetarian option,
it looks good.
I was blown away. Josh ordered it. He's sitting there. He goes, "Tom, you have to try this." I go, "Why?" He goes, "This is really phenomenal." And he ordered it. He said, "Oh, I'm ordering it because no one else wants it. I don't expect it to be good." It was great. There's the fish. Everybody look out. Might start singing Take Me to the River. At the end of the meal, I didn't put the picture in the review. I hold up the head with just the bones at the end.
Nice.
It was fun. The desserts were great. That chocolate ganache is wonderful. The cheesecake is really great.
Good beer this selection, is, wine selection.
Oh, the wine and drink selection is unbelievable. Because, again, it's attached to Nomad, and if Nomad's drink menu is that great, obviously so is the wine list in here and the drink list in here.
Got the Kungaloosh beer, of course.
I liked it. You didn't like it.
I didn't really like it.
You know, it's brewed by the same people that brew Sam Adams.
Is it?
It is.
Wow.
That's why it has a Sam Adams style to it.
Huh. Yeah. Didn't really like it.
It's exclusive to Tiffin's. I like
it. Yeah, I know it is.
And I'm not a big Adventurers Club person, as everyone knows by this point.
Why, I had to try it, but...
Yeah, and there's the dessert, which changed looks between the first time we had it and that time. They're playing around with the menu a lot. Not changing whole items, but they are moving things around, changing sauces, things like that.
And you got your... the dish you liked that the head-on, was it head-on?
Yeah, Ashley ordered the head-on shrimp, which
shrimp.
In this case were the, they were called the whatever, something prawn.
Yeah, something prawn.
Fancier name. Very different, better than Skipper Canteen, as much as I love Skipper Canteen, but needless to say, more expensive.
Yeah, so let's talk about price. It is a pricey place to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a signature restaurant.
So,
that being said, it's not SDK. It's not going to run you $100 a person.
But $40 to $60 a plate.
Well... Yeah, so the $53 is the most expensive.
53?
Entree. I know, I've been there a couple times. so I memorized the menu a bit at this point. STK will run you probably, with everything, drinks and everything, $100 a person. If you get the dining package, obviously you know what you're going to spend. It's going to be $67 a person, which for an appetizer, entree, dessert, and drink is a really, really good price. It will probably cost you about that, if not a little more, if you don't get the dining package. That's why, regardless of seeing that hard show, I say get the dining package. Obviously, for the best value, you're going to want the Wagyu beef, which isn't going to be a mistake because it's wonderful. But there's a lot of really great stuff on this menu.
Is everything available to you?
If
you
in buy the dining dinner- package, it's the full menu.
Okay.
Full menu is available. It is your choice what you want off of it.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, see,
but Tiffin's is wonderful.
And
we'll have a obviously on this show, we are constrained by time. I do have a podcast coming out, and some segments have been recorded already. So everyone, yay, he's making a podcast again. There will be a full in-depth review of Tiffin's, STK, Nomad Lounge, everything new. We will spend as much time as we can and really talk you through the menu. So make sure before you spend $60-something dollars a person that you make the right decisions. And we're going to try and make sure you have a wonderful time
there. I'll be honest, you know, when I was at, you know, until Pandora opens up, when I was there, this was needed, you know, this little place to kind of kill some time in between doing some stuff at Animal Kingdom. This was absolutely perfect. And so it was fun to have a place where I could go and just kind of chill on the porch, have a drink, then move on and go do something else, come back maybe later. It is the perfect little spot. And it's right there on the pathway when Pandora opens. There goes my quiet little space out of the way, though. No, but the inside is gorgeous too, and you have to go over to www.wt.com.
and
look at, you have to spend some time.
Ask
your server about stuff in there too, because they could point some great stuff
They'll
out to you in there.
They'll give you a full tour if you ask.
Yeah, it is absolutely fantastic. So, Tom, before we move on, I do want to, and if anyone, this is, you're running out of time, 407-774-8255 if you want to play the game tonight. Tree of Life Awakening
is wonderful.
The most amazing thing, isn't it? It gave me chills. I got
a magical show. The Disney medley one is,
how many different shows are there?
Four.
Okay.
But then there's also all different stuff that happens between them.
Do they all happen in one night?
Yeah, they happen multiple times.
Do they happen at the same? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They keep cycling through.
They do. Okay. Yeah. At the same. Okay. I just got to go find new ones. Okay. I saw a couple of them, but I wasn't sure how many there were.
There's four full sequences. Yeah. Of Awakening. Then there's a lot of different things that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Between.
The animals kind of come to life and move. And
yeah.
Oh.
It's marvelous. As great as any projection thing they've done on the castle so far has been, this is the absolute best of projection mapping technology I have seen today.
It looked perfect, and what they did with it, they really used the canvas to really make these things come alive and show these scenes on there, and it looked, I couldn't believe how good it looked, and when the tree would light up with certain things and different colors inside the tree, and oh my gosh, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
Then we have the Night Safari.
Which can be horrible or really good. I've had experiences where I didn't see any animals, and I've had experiences where I saw a ton of animals.
Got to see the male lion rocking
around. Just like the daytime safari, obviously it's going to be harder.
A little bit more misses.
It is going to be harder. It's night. It's dark. You can't put a spotlight on every animal.
I understand. I'm not asking for that.
I'm not willing to write off night safaris. I almost did after the first ride, but then we went again, and it was really, really nice.
It's pretty cool. In the spots
I don't like that they cut the length of the ride down, but...
Yeah, that was interesting. So you get less of the tour factor of it. It's more just about going around trying to spot the animals.
It skips the bridge part.
Yeah.
Which the driver goes, oh, we're not going to take that rickety bridge, to which our group, of course, booed. And then the driver giggled because we were booing that there was no bridge.
We had a couple good spots with a nice view of the lion. The giraffes came up. The zebras crossed right in front of our paths. What about the hyenas? Weren't the hyenas supposed to
be
the night animals?
They have not acclimated. I don't know what's going on with the African wild dogs.
They haven't shown up yet, right?
It's not working.
Yeah.
There's been like one. We saw one running around once.
Oh.
But they have not been showing up. I don't know what's going on.
It'll take a little
giraffes,
while, yeah.
I found the giraffes are like the most active animals at night, which they're always out during the day,
yes,
too, but because they only sleep for a half hour a day, they're just as active, and they seem to really like get closer to the vehicles, actually, for the night safari. It's real weird. I had my closest encounter ever with a rhino on our second one.
Did you?
The truck is like right here.
Yeah.
The rhino is up against the truck, like running side by side with the truck. It was scary and wonderful at the same time.
It wasn't awful. It just wasn't what
I
expected.
It just depends when you go.
But it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, I agree with
that. What do you think of the effects? The Twilight effect?
Oh, I like the Eternal Sunset. I think it looks real.
I think it looks really good as well. Yeah. We make fun of it. We call it the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
But
I like the lighting in the final scene when it's so when you start, you go, it's supposed to be sunset.
Right.
By the time you get to the final scene, they're doing almost moon lighting.
Right.
That works. The what are they? The
bluish lighting.
I think in the end.
Did the flamingo there. It was around that area.
Scimitar horned oryx.
Oh, okay. Wow. Are you serious? You came up with that?
I ride that a lot. You have no idea. Yeah, and they have like night lighting on them, like moon lighting, and it's really cool. It's neat.
I think I feel one thing is the effect was ruined in some spots because they have that yellowish glow light, the lamp posts kind of that they're putting out there. I just feel that they have to point them so they're not a lot of times directed right at us. And I feel like they have to be down a little bit. They'd cast that glow and they'd give that effect. Yeah. But a lot of times the effect was ruined because they were just pointed right at us, and a lot of times I'd look over to my right, and there'd be a big spotlight coming at me.
The bottom line is you had to offer this tonight, and other than adding back the poachers or whatever, I think they did as good of a job as you can.
They did a very good job. I guess I also imagined more
screens. I want more story. I want something to happen.
Well, a story would be great, but I want more story in the daytime.
If they know it's
going to
be harder, no. I think if they know it's going to be harder to see stuff at night, there should be more of an effort to create a story then. Which in some cases they did. They added the speakers with the animal noises in different spots.
You like that?
I'm okay with it. I'm really not
this isn't
mad
Jungle
about
Cruise.
It.
Like, no, that experience is fine on Jungle Cruise. I don't want you adding fake animal sounds into my nighttime safari.
But I understand that they're reacting to, it's harder to see animals. They're naturally camouflaged at night. You have to figure out something to do. I don't know if the speakers are the answer, but I appreciate the fact that they realized that may not be perfect to just let the safari exist as is with nightlight.
Is it a must do? Do you have to do it at nighttime?
What else are you going to do there?
No. What I'm saying is
I would say it's worth it because I had a couple of really great experiences in the second and third time I rode this. The first time was awful. We didn't see anything. I felt like I was in Jurassic Park in the first movie.
But I mean, someone like, taking a trip
Mr.
here.
Mr. Hammond, do you have any dinosaurs in your dinosaur park?
With someone taking a trip here, you have to do both daytime and nighttime to get the full experience of Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
because
I think you got
to
go for the Tree of Life anyway. Mm-hmm. It's worth seeing. So if you're going to be there, I'm saying you got to do Everest and you got to do safaris.
All right.
There's no reason not to. And Kali and even Primeval World, for that matter, are cool enough at night.
So. Yeah. All right, we'll have much more when we get back. We're going to bring on some WDWNT staff, and we're going to talk about some of the ghosts of Walt Disney World.
In honor of Ghostbusters Day.
Oh, nice. We have a flashback to the future.
Wait, you forgot to talk about magical travel.
I know. We have a flashback to the future about not Star Wars weekends. And then we'll find out who's mad at Tom as well. WDW News Tonight is brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can awaken summer and save up to 30% on rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most night, June 12th through August 25th, 2016, when you book by June 10th. Plus, you can get an exclusive Awaken Summer BB-8 Magic Band when you upgrade to a room and theme park package. For more information on this and other offers, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney vacation today. Speaking of bear, Tom and I just shopping on buildabear.com during the commercial break.
Well, I shopped earlier today.
Well, you guys were at TeePublic and Magical Travel.
For those unaware, I'm a fairly big Ghostbusters fan. And they're doing special Build-A-Bears for Ghostbusters. And one of them, they're not even really bears, some of them. There's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And not only that, you can put the music in him so he plays the Ghostbusters theme song. And you could also put a marshmallow scent in him.
Oh, it's amazing. Really,
but they also have a 12-inch Tiny Slimer one.
Yeah.
So I had to get that, too. So I'm you know, it was Ghostbusters Day.
It looks great. I'm doing this.
Cool. Yeah. And it made me sad. They have Build-A-Bear at Downtown Disney at the Disneyland Resort. We didn't get one at Disney Springs. I'm kind of upset about it.
Oh, that's right.
Huh. But I guess they already have one, but Florida Mall has one?
Or Millennium. There's one around here, yeah. I think it's Florida Mall.
Came back and they go, that's a really upscale mall. And I go, we had an upscale mall in New York. I don't think it's any worse than that one. Like, no, it's even fancier. Like, there's so many tourists in there, it's not fancier. But anyway. Do you think Millennium is fancy?
Like, no, overly? It used to be, it degraded a little bit over time.
Yeah, because it was too much.
Yeah, it was a little bit too much when it first opened, and it came back to Earth a little bit.
That being said, it has, like, P.F. Chang's. Like, P.F. Chang's is nothing that fancy.
No, but, I mean, it's still a nicer mall than the Florida Mall absolutely. Or one of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's higher end, but it's not, like, I don't feel uncomfortable in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Anyway, we're not even talking about Disney.
Apparently, they have a really good Santa, and they hire this, like, really, really, really accurate good Santa that they have.
You mean a Santa's helper?
Yes, a Santa's helper that comes in. We talk about the guy in a Mickey costume. I'm pretty sure.
What are you talking about? This show on at 11 at night is for children.
So
we have to be positive, and we can't say such things.
Uh-huh.
We can't say that there's multiple rooms of Anna's and Elsa's.
What?
That's ridiculous.
How's that even possible? Anyway, the same...
It's more possible than drinking out of this cup, that's
the same
sure.
Santa Zelper has been there for years, and my friends go there, like, so their kids grew up with Santa, apparently. I don't know. It's a thing. And so it's a really hard to get an appointment with this Santa and get a picture. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway,
by the way, the mug of the week is the, we released it even though the show isn't ready, Rivers of Light light up mug, which does that.
Love it.
It also does a color change effect. Find the button. There you go. Color change.
Is that your nearest Animal Kingdom kiosk today?
And then it goes off also.
Yeah.
There you go.
And while you're at Walt Disney World looking for food and drink, you might want to try this place.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Tony's Town Square Cafe. It's because owner and chef Tony Ragu offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Toledo, Ohio. He is 1/8 Italian. Locally sourced Cast Connection freezer items are combined with prepackaged ingredients imported only from the OBT Winn-Dixie, along with mangled recipes from nearly unreadable Buitoni labels. Whether it's quote-unquote pizza or that soup of the day which just hasn't changed in 14 years, taste for yourself at Tony's Town Square. Just steps away from that hat store that sells pins. Come taste what the guide map is calling Italian food, only at Tony. And maybe at Portobello.
Tom, let's get to our in-depth discussion this week, Ghosts of Walt Disney World Past. Why don't you introduce our WDWNT staff that's coming on here to talk with us.
I don't know who's even here. I didn't sign everybody. Jason, who's here? Jason,
who are these people? All right, I'm here. And then we've also got Ashley, David, Dustin, and this guy named Justin, who I haven't seen around in months.
Is that three Justin weeks. Hyman down there?
Three, Nick, when did I host? Four episodes ago?
I think so.
Yeah, but in fairness, four episodes ago is like three months. So.
Well, that's kind of, I brought a mug. Here.
Which mug is that?
Aha.
Oh, yeah.
I did get you. I told you I would get you with this one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's very classic.
Okay.
Does that make up for being...
Does it light up?
Not really.
But does it light up?
Never. Yours is much more entertaining to watch you drink out of.
So I know, I'm trying. It's almost as bad as that stupid Iron Man cup they came up with. You can't
just go fill it up with water and let's see if it just floods the studio.
My cup will just sink. Anyway. or the water just won't reach the cup. Either way. In honor, it's Ghostbusters Day. I wanted to think of something somewhat related. Not really, but it gave me the idea for Ghosts of Walt Disney World Past. Now, this is not just a discussion about extinct attractions, because we've had that before. I wanted to talk about the attractions that still haunt Walt Disney World. And what I mean is they're the attractions that people from all walks of life, not just fanboys, but what are the attractions that even people that maybe just went once or twice in their life, they come back and they're like, oh, they got rid of that? Why is that not here? And the other reason I thought of this was Universal had a Ghostbusters show. And what's funny is when I took my parents there last week, they have the windows set up at the Universal store there that show all the rides and shows they got rid of. And as we're walking by, my mother looks at the windows and she goes, man, they got rid of everything good, didn't they? And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation about Disney World. What did they get rid of that people still just won't stop talking about? So, Jason, why don't Jason, you've been around for a while. You've seen a lot of extinct attractions.
Yes.
What are the ones that still haunt guests to this day?
I'm not going to say Journey into Imagination because I'm going to save that for you.
I have another one, which I'm sure Nick's going to take anyway.
I'm going to go. There's a couple that I can come up with. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I mean, that's kind of, to me personally, that's a big one because I can remember going on that as a kid. And, you know, I was fairly upset when they got rid of it. So that's one of them.
That's one of those things where I think it's just people miss walking by the lagoon.
Yeah,
and seeing exactly. It, not so much waiting in the line or riding it, but...
No, and
the other thing is that it was so much a part of the promotional materials that even if you didn't go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, you knew 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was there.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I mean, plus, even after the attraction closed, the lagoon was there forever.
Yeah.
And it looked really nice, and they kept it up really well. So, you know, there are a lot of people that saw it and you know, sort of can remember at least seeing the lagoon, even if the attraction wasn't running at that point in time. So that's one of them that's big on my list. The other one, I'm going to go with the Skyway. Because actually, up until only a couple years ago, the Skyway building still existed. The one in Fantasyland next to Small World, they kind of took down when they put the Tangled toilets in. And the one in Tomorrowland was there even more recently until
they redid
the rest. Well, it's – yeah, but the second floor doesn't exist
anymore. That's true. It's still the building, though.
The building is still there, which had restrooms on the first floor. But the second floor used to exist for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And up until very recently, it was still there. So that's another one. And the Skyway was one of my favorite attractions as a kid because it gave me a glimpse into the backstage. So that was like Disney fanboy at 6 years old wanting to see backstage and, you know, look at the show buildings and stuff like that. So for me, that's another one. And then, of course, Mr. Toad is one of my favorites as well. But I think we've talked about Mr. Toad forever.
Do you think any of those matter to the average guest, though?
It depends. If it's a person that went 20 years ago and they're coming back for the first time in 20 years, then, yeah, they're going to wonder what happened to 20,000 Leagues, and they might wonder about the Skyway, and they probably
do you think they still wonder now that it's finally been, like, replaced with something of...
Yeah, I think that's a big help, certainly,
yeah,
that like there's something there that's actually decent. There,
yeah. Not just a poop playground.
But, I mean, 20,000 Leagues was the favorite of a lot of people of my generation.
Yeah, I think David's point is the best point about it. It was iconic in that it was...
Yeah.
Such a big part of the marketing for so long.
That's definitely true. So of those three, that's the big one, definitely.
Yeah. And look at how much Nautilus merchandise they still pump out to this day.
They still make it, yep.
Same thing with Mr. Toad.
I mean, yeah, they brought the Nautilus to a pin event a couple of years ago.
They did.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Toad is also in that discussion because, you know, even the phrase has entered the cultural lexicon, so... People are still going to think about it, you know. Again, even if they haven't gone in a long time, they're going to assume that it's still there.
Yeah.
Plus, it's still there at Disneyland, so that
yeah,
that, that's a big part of it.
For Mr. Toad, that's a big deal that it still exists at Disneyland.
Yeah,
right.
Ashley, yes. You want to go ahead?
Oh well, I was just going to say, and there's an homage to it at the Haunted Mansion with. You know, Mr. Toad's little placard there, and I know everybody can't read it, but he's still there. And
that damaged big fig that they repainted.
But I still can't decide if it's, you know, being nice to the people that loved Mr. Toad or rubbing salt in the wound that you killed him and then buried him. I mean, I guess that's what you're
I think it's always nice that things are gone but not forgotten, and I think that's what they try to do with the nods. But Ashley, what ones come to mind for you? What do you think are the ones that people still
wonder
that
why.
That was mine.
Okay.
So far that I've thought of was Mr. Toad.
Okay. Dustin, what about you?
All right, so I have a couple that kind of come to mind when it comes to, you know, really interesting ones that were a really big part of any trip planning over the last couple of years. So we're looking at something like Snow White, Scary Adventure, the original place of Dumbo. I think that's the big one that, as soon as you mentioned what was going on, the topic, it was the original Dumbo. When you first walk through the castle and you saw directly in front of you, you had the carousel and then you saw Dumbo. And I'm like, that was what the traditional, you know, sense of going through the archway into Fantasyland. And you saw this you know, kind of gateway for kids to be able to go from, you know, really seeing what Disney's all about. And then all of a sudden being able to, you know, there's Dumbo. There's what we can do. And, you know, a lot of adults would go and play on it. Now that they've put it towards the back of the park, I think that it's lost that mystery, that aura that it had before. The other big ones that come to mind, obviously, over the next couple of years as things change with the studios and with the Animal Kingdom, we're seeing a lot more of those attractions that were big parts of the advertising campaigns over the last 10 years.
All you of mean like all of the studios?
Yeah, so Life Murder's Action, everything. The small one that really came out, and I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on this, is Luxo Jr. You know, it was so cool.
Him, yeah.
And a lot of people kind of turn it into this aura, this you know, kind of mystery. All of a sudden you'll walk through Pixar Place, you'll actually see people still looking up at the door.
It's almost like an urban legend at this point, yeah. Because he existed for such a short period of time, and Muppet Mobile Labs was the same way, really.
Yeah, he existed for such a short period that Tom Corliss only saw it once. That's how short of it. I saw Stitch of Supersonic Celebration twice, so that's a big deal to only see something once.
Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, Luxo Jr. was a big one, and I think the other really unique category of this this topic is all the parades. You know, you spend so much time going and searching out a spot for the 3 o'clock parade in the Magic Kingdom, or all the various shows that have happened at the studios or even at Epcot, and you kind of go back in time and be like, wow, that was cool. We were there during that one time where we saw a parade at Epcot. Or we saw a true parade at the studios. And nighttime shows come and go, too. So it's an interesting topic, for sure.
That's a good point. I can definitely imagine, you know, people going to Epcot who haven't been there in 15 years and saying, where's Tapestry of Nations?
I can't even begin to tell you, waiting for any parade, how many times I've had that conversation with people. Or you hear people talking about... I remember sitting for Block Party Bash, or even the one or two times I saw Pixar Pals, that... thing. People bringing up Hercules and Mulan and all of those
parades,
and
even
Toy Story, for that matter. And having worked at Theme Park Connection, I think it's funny that a lot of retired parade stuff goes for a lot of money. People have strong connections, and maybe it's a bit of, only saw that a few times, but I really liked it, and maybe it's one of those things where entertainment doesn't get overdone. You know, the parades exist for a set amount of time, and you see them a couple times, and you know, you don't have that ability like Haunted Mansion, where you know it's going to be there forever to see it over and over and over and over again until the end of time. Parades exist for 5 or 6 years, and you see them however many times they were, and then that's it. You never see them again. They don't come back, especially after you leave them outside to rot. But anyway, Nick, since I set you up for it, why don't you go ahead?
I don't know which one you think I'm going to mention, but I mean, I guess it is Spectro. I mean, that is the first one that came to mind, Spectro Magic. That one always saddened me the most.
But it's the one people bring up a lot. Like, every time I'm waiting for Main Street, right. I feel like I hear people talk about it.
Well, the problem is, I think we were all done with the, you know, the electrical parade. Like, I think we were okay. Like, it was done. We had our goodbyes. But we didn't have our goodbyes to Spectro. And I think that when you're able to give a goodbye to an attraction, I think you could be at peace with it. Like, we said goodbye to Maelstrom. We said goodbye to Captain EO. We never we never really got to say goodbye to Spectro because they thought it would come back. Yeah. And that was actually the beginning of my real cynicism about everything at Disney. It started right there. It was like, oh, okay. Well, can't take anything for granted. It is the thing. So that one, honestly, you know, one of the ones that, that came to mind is, and more because I never got the chance to enjoy it. I love, Fort Wilderness Campground, and that's where my family and I always used to go on vacation, and they had the train there. And my dad swears I rode this train.
Now, that one's a real, like, that is the urban legend of Disney, is that train.
Yeah. And I guess it's possible. I think it closed, like, in the early 80s, so it is possible.
I thought it closed in the 70s.
Did it close
in
the, see, I when he told me.
I want to say, like, late 70s. Right. Maybe right around 80. Yep.
Yeah. So my dad swears, like, I was on it as an infant. I don't know. I guess he did.
You don't remember?
I do not remember it. And as much as I love that campground and enjoyed it and grew up going there all the time, like, I would have loved if there was a train there for me to ride. So that's one that upsets me as far as never being able to experience it. And then there's a group that kind of haunt me, like, in this was the whole ghosts thing, because this was actually one of the first ones I thought of, was Cranium Command, because the Wonders of Life Pavilion still exists, and it's sitting there, and it's mocking
me. It really is.
It's like, every time I see it, I'm like...
Command Theater still exists.
Right.
Yeah, we went in there.
Logo, isn't the logo still there? It's just hidden behind some...
No, they finally ripped it out.
They took it down.
Slowly, event by event, they pulled more and more off the wall.
Yeah.
But the theater is still there.
It's in there. Buzzy's still sitting there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, theater is essentially frozen in time from when they shut it down. Yeah.
Well, and they still use a lot of the convention space and the VIP sections upstairs for various training.
Yeah, they do.
And that kind of
Body Wars
thing.
Is where they tested Star Tours.
So. Yep.
Yeah. David, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've mentioned the ones. I mean, the only one other one I was going to mention was Body Wars, maybe for the wrong reason. But I think a lot of people feel haunted by that, but again, for the wrong reason. I wonder for a certain generation if Kitchen Cabaret is kind of that attraction that's just they hold on to.
Yep. That would pretty much be me and my generation, for sure.
Yeah. But then again, the classic Epcot has always that lore.
And that's what I was going to actually say, is what about all of, like, 80s Epcot?
Because the living
falls into that. That's like, you know, saying, like, all of early 90s Universal. It's kind of the same thing. They're two parks.
Yeah.
They're two parks that got completely, you know, demolished in a lot of ways. And Epcot, I think, hurts more because Universal, at least they've leveled everything. In the case of Epcot, those buildings are still there. They just contain things other than Horizons. They just contain very different things in them.
Yep.
The thing about early Epcot, though, is that I'm not sure the average guest cares so much. If we're talking about average guests.
Other than Figment.
We all care.
Yeah, Figment, I think, is the big thing. Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, they know.
Still there, and they'll go on it, but there's no way that anyone who rode the original Figment ride as a kid and comes back now and rides Imagination is going to be like, there's no way that you can't be saddened.
Yeah, true story, a couple times. In the time I've lived here, I've come off that ride, and as I'm getting off, I hear people say, they made that ride shorter, didn't they? Did a lot more than that. So the average guest notices, even if Journey to Imagination wasn't something they were super crazy about, they notice that something happened there. So
that's a great point, looking at a couple of the items that are still in the parks that guests walk past, as in the riverboats in the Animal Kingdom, the fact that they had the Pooh and Eeyore and Tigger meet and greet down at the loading
dock
for so long. And then just recently, they got rid of the Plaza Swan boats, the old landing platforms in the kingdom. So those types of things that they don't just
and
rip off. They just like, hey, we're going to all of a sudden stop. And people are going to ask, hey, what's that? And we're not going to be able to explain it. It's not coming back.
Oh, it's nothing. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah. So, Justin, I want you to go. I know you're going to steal my other one, so go for it.
Am I? I'm
fairly certain I know where you're going to go with this. It's at Magic Kingdom.
I was going to let that one be.
Oh, were you really?
Is it the Tomorrowland attraction?
Yeah.
No, I was going to let it be.
Oh, okay.
I've said too much.
I thought we were going to play Where's Tom Corliss. I'm like, okay, so if we're in the Magic Kingdom, we're talking Tomorrowland.
If it's not Alien Encounter, I'm thoroughly surprised, so I want to hear what Justin has to say.
I thought about that, but I went more average guest, not Justin crazy Alien Encounter guy. So there's two things that popped into mind, especially from an average guest perspective. And the first one is all of Toontown or Toontown Fair, whatever you like to call it.
It's a good one.
There's still one out, you know, on the other coast. So that causes some level of confusion. And two, it's just kind of like this thing of, well, it was Mickey's house was there. Minnie's house was there. There was a playground. Where did all that stuff randomly go? Did you evict him? Pay his rent.
Does Mickey live now?
Yeah. Where's the garage? The where's the pumpkins? So I think that's something that sticks with people.
I know where the pumpkins went, by the way. I can tell you where the
what's the price on those?
You don't want to know. The tomatoes, the scarecrow. I can tell you where all that went.
John Stamos.
But that's a good one, Toontown. I would say Alien Encounter. I thought Alien Encounter was a good one because it was so heavily marketed. That wasn't marketed as an e-ticket and was the headliner of 95 Tomorrowland.
Yep.
So for that to have vanished so quickly, and not only that, it's still there. Yeah. It is in a lot of ways still there. Skippy is still there, and it's still the same layout, and there's excess tech seat covers still everywhere. It's literally, for the most part, still there, but it's not. So I think, I don't need to go into Figment. We've gone into Figment a million times. Alien Encounter, I think, still, just because it was so heavily marketed, even though it didn't exist so long, I think is a big one.
Yeah, I just don't think a lot of people saw the attraction, kind of like Discovery River.
But even if they didn't, I think they at least heard about it.
They heard about it, yeah. Discovery River, but you didn't really hear about it because it was
terrible. But.
And I also think you're right, Tom, that in terms of still having an impact on the park, it absolutely is still haunting Tomorrowland because there really is nothing else they could do with that space. They tried retheming it.
Repaint it!
Yeah. For all intents and purposes, it is Alien Encounter still, like you said.
Yep.
Ashley, did you come up? I'm going to give you...
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
So y'all were talking about parades earlier, and we've kind of been on this vein of stuff that's there. I mean, that's the theme, but stuff that people can still see pretty much intact. And the one that I thought of was the Horsemen during the Boo to You parade. From what I understand, because I never personally saw it, but I heard the urban legend that, you know, when the Headless Horseman gets to Main Street, it's the cool. And it was actually during, they were doing the cast preview night when I was on college program. And so, you know, they invite all the cast members in for the rehearsal or whatever. And, you know, all these little whispers are going, it's the coolest thing you're going to see. The horseman's going to gallop full blast down Main Street. And so we're all amped up and excited, and all these college program kids. And then the horseman shows up, and he just kind of trots. And it was still cool, but when you built up in your head that you're going to see this horse and the horseman fly down Main Street, and then he just kind of, I mean, he just trots. It was very disappointing. And so
to clarify, people in the chat are asking if it's gone. It's not gone, but the full speed run is gone because there was a accident at some point.
Yes, not too long ago. And that's what we came to find out later. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that we were the only, you know, because none of us had ever seen it. It was just kind of urban. So I know that people that have seen it and come back are probably, that don't know that there was an accident, would probably wonder, well, didn't he used to run down?
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, look at how many times on a regular day guests twist their ankles in the train tracks. You can imagine, galloping a horse at full speed.
Watching the strollers get stuck in the Main Street trolley tracks is my guiltiest pleasure in life.
It never gets old.
They try to get them out and they can't. Oh, it's so mean, but I love it. Anyway, thank you, panel. Thank you very much for celebrating the ghosts of Walt Disney World's past. Nick, we're going to come back in overtime and do flashback, but I want you to get to...
Yeah. And by the way, I was going to say, if anyone has their attractions in mind that is listening, yes. Tweet us at WDWNT. Let us know or give us a call. Yep, because 407-774-8255. We'll put you on in the after show or put them, I'm sure people are talking about it in the chat at listen.wdwnt.com. I'm surprised no one brought up River Country. That's the ghost that's haunting you.
The water park.
Yeah, but it's
even
creepy.
Typhoon, I had a hard time gathering enough care from people for that news today.
Very ghosty.
Anyway.
Taunting.
Nick, who hates me now?
Let's find out.
I have access.
It's not the intro to that segment.
Nope. That is Tom. Let's find out who hates Tom now.
I think it's a lot of people lately.
Tom, yes, a lot of people hate you. In fact, so many that I had to hold over some till next week. All right, here we go. We're going to start off with this story, Tom. Typhoon Lagoon expansion planned with new family raft ride. Oh, a lot of people jumped on you for this one. Jason wrote in, no source, no link to original sources. The reporting is disgraceful.
The original source being the South Florida Water Management District. Which is
people
weird.
Claiming it's plagiarism. I don't care how true it is.
Maybe they should look at the Orlando Sentinel and the Orlando Business Journal, who also...
WDW fan, you took this story without giving credit to WDW Magic. Shameful.
So when they do it to me, it's all right.
How about Andy saying, how about no credit to Dan LB?
I don't even know who that is.
That guy works pretty hard to find this stuff.
Yeah, by pretty hard, meaning you search permit on the South Florida Water Management District thing, and it's literally the first permit that pops up. Man, that is some tough research.
This story reviewed Jungle Book Alive with Magic. Frank writes in, don't be apologetic for an honest review. Oh wait, this one's positive. It's very refreshing.
Thank you.
And why people are okay.
Thank you, Nick.
Let's skip that one. That's ridiculous. Somebody writing with a positive review. John writes in, I actually went and we enjoyed it. Love how the Disney blog world loves to complain about the same issues, piggybacking to create a narrative that doesn't exist.
I've been tweeting that narrative that doesn't exist thing about everything.
Greg writes in, WDW News must not like the Jungle Book.
Was that actually someone hating?
John writes in, I've seen three blogs complain about the same thing. It's getting old.
Maybe the show should be good then.
Kelly writes in, if you're in the business of reviewing things, commentary like mine shouldn't be surprising or taken personally. Complaints get more page views, unfortunately. Tracking up those page views. Grant also writes in, why be so negative? I just don't understand.
Because it wasn't good.
Don't understand.
It isn't good.
One more story here. Nomad Lounge and Tiffin's Restaurant soft open at Animal Kingdom. Jeffrey Robert writes in, not sure what is more disgusting, that fish picture or the Jungle Book show. Brenda writes in, you had to use that picture for the review, didn't you? And last but not least, Keith writes in, you hate bourbon? Not sure I can take anything else you say seriously. I think you may actually have a disorder. I agree with Keith wholeheartedly, because the bourbon drinks are by far the best drinks. Tom, we have more, but we're going to have to wait till next week to find out who else hates Tom Corliss.
Well, if we run that discussion about media ethics, it's going to be a lot more people.
That'll be fun. Head over to WDWNT.com. Check out everything we're doing. Follow us on Twitter at WDWNT. Lots of great stuff there. And don't forget to leave your comments. Stay tuned for the after show if you're listening at listen.WDWNT.com. Just keep listening. We're going to do a little bit of an after show. If you're listening on 1520 WBZW or any of that's websites or streaming there, hop over to listen.WDWNT.com. To continue on with the show. We'll be back next week. Tom?
And remember, kids, printed to the only thing on this page, beware of hitchhiking ghosts!
And maybe?